Welcome to the Israel Answers series, connecting Israel, the Bible, and you. Join Susan Michael as she explores timely issues and current events from a scriptural perspective to equip the Christian world with a balanced and biblical response. Be sure to subscribe for future episodes, which will ignite your faith and bring the Bible to life in your everyday world. Now, let's join Susan with your Israel Answers.
Well, we are here at the 2025 National Religious Broadcasters Convention again today, where we are meeting all kinds of friends and colleagues and tremendous Christian leaders. And so we're really blessed to have with us today Matt Staver. Matt is the chairman and founder of Liberty Council, and he has founded Covenant Journey and Christians in Defense of Israel. And you're a lawyer. You handle pro bono religious freedom cases. And I don't know how you do everything. So, Matt, thank you for taking a few minutes to spend with us today.
Well, thank you. And thank you for an amazing breakfast to honor Israel today at the National Religious Broadcasters Yes. Convention. It was packed.
Yes.
And the program was very good. So thank you for all you do for Israel.
I will say that in a room of 5,000 Christian broadcasters, it is so pro-Israel everywhere. Everyone is just so excited and supportive of Israel. So the events are all sold out. You mentioned Israel, and everybody wants to come.
Well, you know, the member of the Knesset actually mentioned that as he walks around the NRB floor. And in fact, if you walk around NRB, there's a lot of pro-Israel displays here.
Yes.
In addition, obviously, to Israel displays from Israel, yes. I can see how he would be very encouraged by the support of the Christian community for Israel, especially yes. at a time yes. like this.
Well, Matt, we want to talk about your support of Israel, the things that you've done, and we can talk about the new administration and all. But before we do that, do you mind just telling us about Liberty Council and your legal work? Because I'm so impressed by that.
Well, Liberty Council, my wife and I founded it in 1989, and we're a religious liberty, pro-life, and then God's Design for Marriage and Family organization. And we advanced those three areas through litigation, through education, and through public policy. And we've been very successful in a lot of different litigation, creating new precedent that lasts for generations. We've got 37 wins at the United States Supreme Court that we either briefed or argued. Most recently, one of our wins was 9-0. That was a catalyst to overturn a very bad 51-year-old precedent from 1971. And literally that changes the landscape of religious freedom and other matters involving our Judeo-Christian values that will last for generations. So Liberty Council over the years, in addition to litigation, has birthed a number of organizations, and some organizations have become part of Liberty Council. So we now have, in addition to Liberty Council, about 8 or 9 different organizations, one of which that we birthed, it's a separate 501c3, it's Covenant Journey, and then another one that was an organization that we took over and we expanded it is Christians in Defense of Israel because of our love and support of Israel.
You just said that you have had 37 cases before the Supreme Court.
We've had 37 wins, actually, before the United States Supreme Court.
That is just so amazing. So tell me, how did you get a passion for Israel, that you've done so much for Israel as well?
Well, it was actually Duke Westover, who I went to Israel with for the very first time.
From Liberty University.
He recently passed, but he had visited Israel more than 100 times. Most of those were with tour groups that he led or was a part of. So we went to Israel for the very first time. Certainly from reading the scriptures, I understood the place of Israel. But there's nothing like visiting Israel. It's unlike any other place in the world, as you well know. You could visit a certain place, and you could say, oh, that's wonderful. You don't necessarily need to go back, or maybe you could go back. Israel draws you back. And so when we first visited Israel on a tour with Duke Westover, we just felt the Lord moving in our hearts that we were going to do something more than just be a one-time tourist, that he was going to do something greater. And so we went back again with Duke Westover, and then Mike Huckabee and David Barton and I led the group. And it was in 2010 that we did that tour of Israel with Mike Huckabee and David Barton. And that's when it became more clear that we're going to be very involved in bringing people to Israel. So we went to Israel in June of 2011. We had a week of meetings of a lot of people, and it was highlighted, like with a cherry on top of the cake, with a meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. It was an amazing event, and he encouraged us to bring young people and others to Israel, and that's when we launched our program to bring Christian college students to Israel and others to Israel. We've been to Israel many times since then, so we launched Covenant Journey. That started to bring just Christian college students to Israel for a life transformative experience. And then we have Covenant Journey Travel that works to bring others that are not students to Israel. And then we also have Christians in Defense of Israel, which is our Israel education and advocacy organization.
Well, tell us a bit more about Christians in Defense of Israel. What kind of things do you do?
Christians in Defense of Israel advocates about Israel here in the United States, particularly with members of Congress, about pro-Israel kinds of policies. Some of the executive orders that came out, or the policies that came out in the Trump's first administration, now also in the second administration, we've been very strong advocates. We have an office in Washington, D.C., and so we're very involved on a regular basis with members of Congress and the administration advocating for Israel with regards to laws and policies and the support of Israel. It's our strongest, best ally, of course, in the Middle East. And frankly, it's biblical to do so, as you well know. And so that's the voice that we have. And as part of not only advocating for Israel on the federal level, we do that on the state levels as well with Christians in Defense of Israel. And then the best advocacy of Israel is to actually take people to Israel. Because once you do that, it frankly is life transformative. And just the other day, we got a text message, Cindy Matthews and I, she heads up Covenant Journey, got a text message from one of our college students, alumni. She's no longer a college student. She just finished at the Boston Conservatory, high-level musician. She sent us a text and said that she thinks about Israel every day, and since October 7, being in Boston with some of her college and master-level students and classmates, she's been able to advocate for Israel against anti-Semitism that she saw happening among her colleagues and her classmates. And it was Israel's visit, that experience in Israel, that equipped her to do so. And literally, she says, it has changed her life, and she thinks about it every day. She doesn't, you know, it's just literally been transformative. As you know, I mean, it's hard to imagine when I take people to Israel, and they ask me, what's your favorite place? And I said, I'm going to ask you that when we're done. And at the end of the trip, I come to them, I said, so what's your favorite place? And they're just like, how do you begin to even say that? It's everything. It's amazing, because it's hard to explain unless you visit Israel.
Matt, you were recently privileged to be in a meeting with Netanyahu when Yes. he was in Washington, D.C. Tell us what that was like and what you discussed, what you came away with it from.
That was an amazing meeting, and I sat across the table toward the end with Benjamin Netanyahu and his ambassadors and others on the other side. And it was the evening before he met with President Donald Trump. And it was in the Blair House where diplomats stay. And it's amazing because he has such a common sense, calming demeanor, and he's so articulate and knowledgeable. And he talked about Israel. And one of the questions that was asked to him was about what can we do to support Israel. And one of the things he said was, reach the young people. He also said, bring people to Israel, but reach the next generation for Israel. He also mentioned some concerns about, for example, Qatar, that Qatar is a sponsor of terrorism, and that if they had put pressure on Hamas, and if the Biden administration had put pressure on Hamas, or I should say Qatar, the hostages would have been released a long time ago. And we need to understand what Qatar is doing on a global scale to export and support terrorism.
I just want to explain for our American listeners, a lot of Americans pronounce it Qatar.
Qatar.
So you're talking about the country of Qatar.
That's right. Yeah, some people call it Qatar. Some people call it Qatar. It's, but that's the country that has Al Jazeera and that's exporting all kinds of propaganda that's anti-Semitic. So he was very strong about that and hoped that in the United States we would take some action with regards to that. But he was very, very thankful, by the way, of the change of administrations. Usually, they're very diplomatic, as you know, about who's in the White House. But now Joe Biden's not in the White House. He was free to be able to speak. And he talked about how there had been an arms embargo under the Biden administration. And immediately after Donald Trump was sworn in, all of that was lifted and that it was a great opportunity. I told Prime Minister Netanyahu that there are times in history when there are people or events that coalesce, that change the course of history. And with him being Prime Minister and Donald Trump being President of the United States, this is one of those times. And the events that will happen between Israel and the United States now will impact the future for generations to come.
It's truly a historic moment that we're living in. And I think we still have a lot of work to do to turn things around, to correct some of the trends that were going on. But it's going to be just a little bit easier to get the job done. But we still have a lot of work to do. And I always remind our listeners about that. It's not time to sit back and fold your arms and say, oh, well, we've got Trump in the White House. He's going to fix everything. No, he's opened the door so we can begin fixing. We have the work to do.
That's exactly right. I want to emphasize that because so many people think that Donald Trump's executive orders and he being in the White House, everything's fine. We can go on to other things. He's given us the ability to change for generations to come. It begins with him and the executive orders and his policies, but we have to back it up because in 2 years, for example, if he loses the House or Senate, he'll be lame duck. In 4 years, if someone else comes in like Joe Biden, everything will be erased. We've got an opportunity of unprecedented proportions, particularly with Israel, the Middle East, and terrorism, to be able to make significant generational changes. But if we just assume that Donald Trump is doing it all, we don't have to do anything, we will miss this amazing once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
That's absolutely right. So when you look at this opportunity, what is the Lord burning in your heart as a priority, as something that we really need to focus on that's the most important?
Well, I think that Iran needs to be neutralized so that they're not a threat nuclear-wise to Israel or the Middle East or Europe or certainly the United States. That has to be done. And I think what Israel has done with going after Hamas and Hezbollah, I think that's not over yet because you see some of these pockets, for example, inside of Israel, that Iran is trying to stir up, particularly in Samaria, in Jenin, and other places. So they're not giving up. And we can't assume that the war on terror is over. We've got a great headway to stop it. But we have to finish what started. Unfortunately, October 7 was the most horrible thing that we could imagine. But October 7 also, I think good things can come out of evil. And God can take what was intended for evil and turn it for good. And I'm praying that that's what will happen with October 7th, that we never forget and that we use this opportunity going forward to make it a better place.
That's right. It was a wake-up call.
Yeah.
And so if we heed the wake-up call and act accordingly, good can actually come out of it. And I think that 50 years from now, we're going to look back and see October the 7th was a major turning point, not just in Israel, which it will be, but even in the whole region and even in the world. And then to have following a year later the election of Donald Trump,
Yeah. It's
going to be a major turning point. What is your advice to Christians in America? Where do you think we should be focusing on here? And what's your final words to us as Christians here?
Well, I think obviously Christians ought to pray, but they ought to get involved. Elections do matter. We've seen that, for example, with the election of President Donald Trump versus what we just came through with the last 4 years. Elections matter. Get involved. Make sure that you have pro-life, pro-family, pro-religious liberty, pro-Israel people at all levels of elected office and take this opportunity. I can't underestimate this or underscore it enough. We have an unprecedented opportunity. We better not squander it. because we can change the world for good for generations to come, for America, for Israel, and against terrorism.
You know, next year is, I think, the 250th anniversary of America. And we want to see at that anniversary that we're celebrating the return of our country to its biblical foundations and its Judeo-Christian foundations and values. So that's a pretty good goal for us to have.
That's a great goal. That's a great idea to be reminded that that's 250 years since our founding.
Yes. I hope my math is right. So, Matt, thank you so much for stopping by and spending a few minutes with our audience. Your work is phenomenal, and I'm so glad you were able to share with them what you're working on. So thank you, and may the Lord bless your work.
Thank you. Always a pleasure, and thanks for all you do for Israel and for the United States of America.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of Out of Zion with Susan Michael. Be sure to subscribe to Out of Zion now on Apple Podcasts, cpnshows.com, YouTube, or wherever you like to listen and learn. Out of Zion with Susan Michael is a production of ICEJ USA, all rights reserved.